Roxane Gay is a writer with a big online presence. She's widely admired as one of the best feminist writers and critics of her generation, and she's a prolific tweeter with a take-no-prisoners approach to trolls. Earlier this year, her publisher, Simon & Schuster, gave a book deal to the far-right journalist Milo Yiannopoulos. He is one of the few people permanently banned from Twitter for online abuse. Well, Roxane was so furious, she publicly rebuked Simon & Schuster by pulling her own forthcoming book away from them. Raymond Tungekar sat down with Roxane Gay recently to talk about her uncompromising approach to online critics and about her new short story collection, which is called Difficult Women.
There are certain themes that kind of come up again in a lot of your stories. One of those is sex, and often it's kind of intertwined with violence. There's another story in the book, Break All the Way Down, that involves a mother who's grieving the loss of her son and who seeks out a violent, abusive partner. Is there like an idea that you were trying to explore or communicate when you were writing about that?
No. When I'm writing my fiction, I don't have like an agenda. I don't have like a grand idea. And with that story, I was writing about grief. And what would you do to numb the pain if you lost your child in an unimaginable way? And so I thought you would want to feel a different kind of pain to cover up the emotional pain. And so she finds just a terrible guy, but it's consensual. It's consensual terrible. And so that's uncomfortable. That's an uncomfortable place to write and to be in. And I just loved just exploring what that would feel like.
And, you know, like so many great writers, I mean, I think your stories are infused with a great amount of empathy, and you really do like inhabit the mind and like understand the motivations of these characters. And I read somewhere that when you write, especially about difficult subjects, you try to write to the point of unreadability. Is that true?
Yeah.
What does that mean?
You know, I write to that place where I'm horrified and uncomfortable and where I have to look away and where I know the reader is going to have to look away. I just like to transgress boundaries in ways that I think are creatively productive. And so I do write to that place of just absolute discomfort.
Why do you push yourself like that? I mean, why do you do that kind of emotional labor? Is there a deeper, like, a universal truth that you're trying to get at?
Yeah, I wouldn't call it, it doesn't feel like emotional labor. It's certainly challenging to go there, but it's fun.
Really?
And I don't mean that in a sociopathic way. It's just, as a writer, you're always looking to challenge yourself and to challenge your comfort zones. And so for me, there's a lot of creative joy to be found in going to these dark places. Yeah, it's hard to put it into words, but there is a lot of creative joy, while at the same time recognizing that, you know, these are dark stories and painful themes that I'm looking at.
So, you know, the book is titled Difficult Women. How would you define difficult women?
You know, in many ways, just like with Bad Feminist, the title is a bit tongue-in-cheek, and it's challenging this idea that women are difficult when we have opinions. And I think a difficult woman can be a lot of different things, but generally a difficult woman is a woman who takes up space and who uses her voice and demands to be heard and seen.
Do you approach writing for the internet any differently than you do writing for a print audience?
No, I don't. I don't, because I don't ever want to compromise how I say something or why I say something.
Huh. But at the same time, I would imagine that when writing for the internet, you're probably more likely to hear from your audience.
Well, you are more likely to hear from your audience, but I can't allow that to shape how I write. And so I don't.
I guess what I'm amazed by is you are an incredibly prolific writer. But in addition to that, you're also like a really prolific tweeter. And I would think that as someone who, you know, who writes frequently about sexuality and race and gender, I would think that you would get a lot of pushback from some groups or people. But what I find really inspiring and kind of remarkable is that you do take time and you do engage with the people who try to, you know, criticize or troll you.
Yeah, I do. And I don't do it for any noble reason. I do it because you got to bring dirt to the light. And these people are horrible. And not because they disagree with me. I'm talking about the people who harass and troll me and just generally seek to make my life more miserable. You know, I think it's important that people realize the scope and breadth of what women, and particularly women of color, deal with on the internet.
And just to put things in perspective, I mean, how much of this kind of like trolling would you face on a weekly basis?
It really depends on the week. It really does. And it depends on sort of whether I'm in the news or not. I recently made news because I pulled a book from a publisher, and that was quite horrific that week. So it just depends on what's going on.
So I guess what I find fascinating is, I mean, you're someone who's been quite open about struggling with shyness and finding your own voice. And so I would think that someone who's shy wouldn't want to engage with their trolls in such a public platform.
Oh, it's very easy to engage on the internet. That's why I'm on Twitter, because on Twitter, I have the, not courage necessarily, but I'm outgoing enough online to be able to say what I want when I want to say it. What I wish I could do is take that energy into my day-to-day life.
What is it about Twitter that provides you that freedom or that space to kind of be more open than you normally would?
I think it's just the safety of the screen. And, you know, I can be in my own space at home most of the time or on my phone. And I can, you know, like it's easier to just think quickly and to feel witty and to feel smart, like in that environment where you're not like directly facing someone. And I think that's the exact same reason why people troll online.
Do you have a personal philosophy when it comes to, you know, dealing with Twitter trolls?
Yeah, my personal philosophy is that nothing good is coming of engaging with them. That engaging with them is, again, it's just bringing their behaviors to the light and letting people know this is not okay. This is not how we talk to or treat each other. But I keep it in its proper perspective. And I also don't really encourage anyone to engage with my trolls because they're just trolling. I mean, 9 times out of 10, they don't even believe the things that they're saying. They just are bored and lonely and clearly suffering in some form or fashion.
That's remarkable. Even when talking about your trolls, you still speak of them with a sense of empathy and like this attempt to understand them and their motivations.
I mean, I have to believe that someone who would create a Twitter account just to harass me about my looks on a random Thursday is someone who is desperately sad in their own life. Like, I have to believe that, or they're just pathetic. And that's sad. Like, I have at least a life. So it's very easy to have empathy for people like that.
Roxane Gay wrote the essay collection Bad Feminist, and she has a collection of short stories that's just out. It's called Difficult Women. Raymond Tungekar talked with her.